and to worship you, O Father, to call upon your name, O God. We thank you, Lord, for that wonderful opportunity, O God. Father, your word says that everything that has breath praise your name. And this morning, O Lord, we are alive and well here in this place, O God. We want to worship you. We want to adore you, Lord. We want to thank you, Father, for sending your Son on the cross for us, O Lord. Be with us this morning, O God, as we continue, Father, this morning, O God. Encourage us, O God, through your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Just have one or two announcements. First of all, we want to welcome every one of you here in this place once again, though we are few, but the presence of God is in this place this morning. Amen. We want to also say we're grateful for the Lord and the way he has brought Sister Hazel with us, among us. It's 1 year that Sister Hazel is in Canada, so we say thank the Lord for that. May the Lord bless you and continue to be with you, Sister Hazel. And there's others here that are here a long time, amen? Here some of them are even born in this place, and some of them are maybe a couple of years here. I mean, it's only 9 months that I'm here, but I'm a Canadian, okay? So Ital-Canadian, we can say that. So this morning, also, I want to encourage every single one of you to take a moment this afternoon or even tomorrow to write an email and make a phone call. Sunday morning, it is the resurrection day of Christ being risen from the dead. And we want you just to worship the Lord and come and celebrate what God has done through his son Jesus. And through because of his resurrection, because of his life, it gives us life, it gives us hope, it gives us power, it gives us things that we need. And there's so many things because of his resurrection. But today we're going to be focusing on Jesus going to the cross and going there, this place called Golgotha, and receiving those nails for you and I. And I want to dissect it and go verse by verse in Isaiah 53 this morning. We're not really going to receive any offering today, but if you do want to give some offering because you can't be here on Sunday, there's a debit machine there, and whatever you want to do, you can give it later on after the service. But today we just want to focus on this word, and we're just going to have a shortened a little bit of service, but it's nice that you've come here out this morning to worship the Lord together. There are a few that are sick, they have colds, and we just want to pray that those colds would just leave instantly and they can be here and worship the Lord on the Sunday morning. So this morning I want to go right to the Word of God, and it's a passage that's well known to every single one of us here. You know, it's very I have a hard time, and I wonder topical message when there's a seasonal message, like for example Good Friday and Easter and Christmas, it just puts us in that direction. You have to speak on that direction there. It's because that is Good Friday, and hundreds of pastors around the world are preaching about the cross this morning and just how Christ has done for you and I. But this morning I want to dissect and I want to go through, by his stripes we are healed, and it's Isaiah 53. We know this scripture very well, verse 5. We know it so well. Some of us quote us so good, and we just remember, oh, we are healed by his stripes, by his wounds, all that stuff. We just excited to hear that. But I really want to explain to you verse 1, 2, 3, and 4 before we go into verse 5. There's the four verses before that that it will explain the verse 5. So sometimes we can take it out of context, and we don't want to take the scripture out of context. We want to try to take it the best as we can and to understand what the word of God really wants to tell us. So Isaiah 53, verse 1 to 5, that's what we're going to look at this scripture this morning. We see that the book of Isaiah is written by the Isaiah, son of Amos, and his name means the Lord saves. So more than any other book in the Old Testament, Isaiah focuses on a salvation that will come through the Messiah, and the Messiah that one day will ruin injustice and righteousness, and the reign of the Messiah will bring peace and safety to Israel. So let's look at Isaiah 53. Let's all stand for God, reading of God's word this morning. And why don't we together read it together? Isaiah 53, verse 1 to 5. So let's start together. Who has believed? Amen. May be seated. May the Lord add another blessing upon our hearts this morning as we go through the Word of God. What an amazing event. As God was coming to earth, and the one who bent the world was made, would walk on earth, that had created the perfect God-man, would perform great miracles, deliver powerful messages, and reach out in mercy to fallen sinners. What a blessing to hear that the perfect teacher, a perfect lesson. What a privilege to see the Son of God heal the sick and raise the dead. And yet the majority of those who claim to believe in the gospel, that claim to believe in the message, but not many believed in the report. So the prophet shows that there were very few receiving the preaching from Christ and from the deliverance by him. So the first thing that to orderly understand verse 5, he was pierced because of a transgression, crushed because of our iniquity, punishment for our peace was on him. We must understand verse 1 for a moment. And the point 1 that we need to understand, the message, the scripture was rejected in the times of Israel. And as we look today, people around the world is still rejecting the gospel, is still rejecting the word of God. God has sent, he has prophesied, sent the Son and put it in Isaiah that when this Messiah would come to rule this place and to walk on this earth, die on the cross, and 3 days later be raised from the dead. And yet people rejected the word of God. And yet people around the world that you and I know today are rejecting God's word. We have rejected at times God's word. Till in reminding us here, the Israelites were rejecting, did not believe the word, the scripture. Did not believe that would fulfill. And you and I know people, is the same situation of Isaiah. Do not believe in the scriptures. Did not believe that he was going to come and die for us. And there's still people out there in this world. But the word of God is so precise. And it's there for you and I. The message that the prophet is trying to bring forth was the good news about salvation. Salvation to humanity, salvation through the Messiah. And in today, in the 6th and 7th century, humanity have not received the message of salvation. You and I have tried to preach the gospel, and people just turn their hearts away from it. It's just a novel. It's just a book written. It's just a fake. It's just someone who wrote. How can they really hear from God and write this down? But even the world rejects it, as we see in Matthew 13, verse 13 to 17. For this reason I speak to them in parables, because looking they do not see, and hearing they do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilling. Isaiah's prophecy is see and hearing they do not listen and understand, and fulfilling in them which said, you will not listen and listen, you will not understand, and you will not look and look, you will not perceive. For the people's hearts have grown callous. Their ears are hard in hearing, and they have shut their ears over eyes they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn back, and I would cure them. Even today, people have put calluses on their heart and their ears and shut their ears from the truth, from the word of God. The message that gives us hope. The message that gives us peace. The message that brings us life. The message that instructs us in how to live and how to walk and how to do and what God wants us to do. And I heard this one person said this about the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving Christ, before leaving this earth, basic instructions before leaving earth. We need the gospel. And the Israelites were even refusing it and say that it cannot be. They refused the gospel. We see it. Who has believed what we have heard, and who has the arm of the Lord been revealed to? The message that you and I share, it has the power to save. Because you say it in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God of for salvation. Everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentiles. But there's people around the world still have a hard time in believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second point that I want to look at this through Isaiah 53, because we're going to go to the fifth verse, is verse 2. When we look at verse 2, it says, he grew up before him like a young plant and let like a root out of dry ground. He didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. How do I know the prophet is speaking about Jesus? Even by Israel, he was not appreciated. He was despised and rejected. He was a man of sorrow. He knew what grief was all about. And I quote from the Holman Bible Commentary, a young plant growing up in a dry ground would be withered, thus providing an appropriate image of the man of suffering. Just like withered plants is uprooted and thrown away, so the suffering servant was rejected by them. Our Jesus was rejected. And even today's society, our Jesus is being rejected. He's just a man. He's just a person. He did not come to die for you. He did not come to die for me. People are looking all over the world to find who is the true Messiah. But you and I have experienced the true Messiah, because you and I have experienced him in our hearts. Around the world are being rejected the Messiah. But no, today you and I are here because you have not rejected the Messiah, because you have experienced the Messiah in your hearts today. Amen? So people have been rejected. The Israelites have been rejecting this Jesus. And we see in John 6, Jesus speaks about he is the bread of life. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not grow hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. People around the world have a hard time even understanding John 6:35. And the next verse is very important too, in John 6:41-42. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? The Jews were not accepting Jesus. The Jews did not accept Jesus. They began to complain and grumble against Jesus, against the people, because he claimed to have come down from heaven. And we see people, again, you and I speak about this Jesus because you and I experience Jesus. And when we try to bring out the name of Jesus forth, they just say it's a name like Jesus, like any other name. But no. But you know what it is about this? Even around the world, people will reject Jesus, and they're still rejecting Jesus. And look at this. For coincidence, I was looking through the scriptures and I see John 6:66. Look at that. John 6:66. 666. Does that make the coincidence right there? But look what it says, John 6:66. From this time, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Doesn't that make sense? I don't understand why 666 right there. I don't know if it was divine, if it was planned that way. I haven't really searched into that one there. But look, even disciples turned away. Even the disciple rejected him after. Though they seen all what he has done and walked on this earth, they still rejected him. You and I at times know people who've walked with Christ, who experienced Christ. You know people who went to Bible school and theology and became doctors, and all of a sudden something came in their mind and rejecting the scriptures and rejecting the word and rejecting Jesus. Something that entered in their mind that put them aside. And I know people that way. Today, these are people who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ for years, and today say it was just a fake. Wow. When I hear that, it is just mind-boggling how sometimes the enemy just comes and just comes into the mind of a person and just washes away what God has placed in the heart of that person there. We must stand firm. We must stand firm on the word of God. The Israelites rejected the word. The Israelites rejected Jesus. It's not possible the Messiah would come. The Savior will not come on this earth. And you and I know many people around this world is rejecting Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. And as we speak around it, there are many, many that you and I know have rejected Jesus. My prayer is that we will never reject Jesus into our lives, because He is the bread of our life. He is the bread of our life. He is the salvation of our lives. Not only He was rejected, He suffered for all humanity. And how did we suffer? We know, with agony, with torment, with torture, with pain, with stress. That's what the prophet was trying to tell Israel the Messiah will be facing. Severe stress. Jesus had the weight of the world on his soul, on his shoulders, even before the crucifixion began. He clearly had physical symptoms associated with severe stress. And you and I know when you're facing a little bit of stress, it's hard to handle. But he had the severe stress on his shoulders because he wanted to go. It was God's eyes. It was pleasing for God that he had to suffer for you and I. You know, when I think of this, there's a sermon that I'm preparing about another message on the cross. But look at this for a moment. Remember the two thieves and Jesus. Jesus did not answer one prayer of one of the thieves, because the thief says, "You are the Messiah. Save yourself and save me." He had to refuse that prayer. Because Jesus had to die, and Jesus had to resurrect. Because if Jesus was going to respond to the prayer of that thief, we would not be here today. That's a message that God has placed in my heart about the cross. There's something important about the three crosses right there. We can learn from the thieves. At times we can act like one of the thieves there. But I don't want to get there yet. Jesus tortured by beating. Roman designed their whips to cut the flesh of the victims' bodies. And we've seen through the play is when they just, the Easter drama is when they whipped Jesus. And at the end of the whip, there was pieces of bones that could have been there. Is when they whipped him, skin and meat used to come out of his back and just destroyed. And everyone, without saying a word, without going against anybody, received those whips for you and I. Isn't that amazing that Jesus died for you? Isn't that amazing that Jesus walked and says, "I'm going to receive all this for you and I"? It's God's amazing love for you and I. And then they placed him this crown of thorns and forced it into deep of a skull. The scripture says when he placed the crown of thorns, they hit him with the staff right on his head, and it penetrated inside his skull. Isn't that painful just to see, just to feel? We get a little needle and we say, "Ouch!" And we try to do things and we try to swear, "Ouch!" And Jesus receiving the crown of thorns and hitting a staff without saying a word, without going against anybody, because he had to die for you and I. He endured the pain for you and I. And then receiving the nails of love. The first nail of love, the second nail of love, and the third nail of love. It was all about love. Naked before the crowd, the pain and damage caused by crucifixion were designed to be in so intense that would continue long for death, but no longer for days with relief. Why did he have to go through all that? Why did he have to suffer and bear rejection? Simple, because it was God's plan. Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we consider him punishment by God, stricken by him and afflicted. Here it is where we recognize that the servant's suffering were not due to his own sin. Jesus paid the price for you and I. He paid it in full. And that's why we can sing those hymns. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He paid it all for you and I. It is incredible to think that many of the people who watched him die thought God would punish him for his own sin. But Jesus was sinless. Jesus was sinless going on that cross for you and I. Matthew 8:17 said it was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. He took up our infirmities, is one, diseases, physical weaknesses. On the next slide, he was pierced for our transgressions, is the sin. He was crushed by iniquities, lack of justice or injustice, wickedness or injustice. In the Old Testament, we also see that people, when they've sinned, they brought their offerings, the sacrifice, their offerings on the altar. The burnt offering, it was the grain offering, the fellowship offering, the sin offering, the guilt offering. And any one of these offerings has meant, there's a meaning behind this as we look in the Old Testament's offering. When a person sinned, they sacrificed an animal, a young bull, a male goat, a female goat or a lamb, a dove or a pigeon. And they were just there, but the same, to sacrifice it because we have sinned. But Jesus paid it all. Even though we sin, we don't have to bring a lamb. We don't have to bring a pigeon. We don't have to bring a dove because he paid it all for you and I. That's why you and I can come here and start worshiping his name, because he paid it all for you and I. He's the one that went there and put himself as a lamb to be slaughtered for you and I. Isn't that amazing to know that I don't have to go buy a pigeon and bring it there to sacrifice that pigeon and to murder that pigeon? No, because Jesus walked like a precious lamb, just going there and to be slaughtered for you and I this morning. Oh, it's so wonderful to think of it, about this day of what he has done. You know, we don't hear about this. We just talk about the cross only when it's around Easter time. But we should speak about the cross every single day of our life and reminding us of what he has done for you and I. Going on the cross for you and I. And people saying, Pastor, where are you going to? We need to understand the verse 5 for a moment here. We're going to get there. See, our Heavenly Father did not only speak about love, not only did he write about love, he demonstrated love to us. God was motivated by love by sending his son on the cross, and his son carrying it out was obedient. Greater love has no one than this, so to lay down one's life for his one's friend. It was God's plan. Because look at Isaiah 53:10. Look at Isaiah 53. Yet the Lord was pleased to crush him. It pleased God to crush him severely. When you make him a restitution offering, he will see his seed. He will prolong his days. But by his hand, the Lord's pleasure will be accomplished. It pleased the Lord to crush his son on the cross for you and I. It wasn't just because he did not sin. It pleases the eyes of God to place his son. And thank God that he went there, that you and I can experience healing, spiritual healing and physical healing this morning. Hallelujah. Yes, it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering to sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. The pleasure of the Lord did prosper in his hands. His enemies cannot destroy him. Death cannot conquer him. The prophecy has declared Christ's love was not only in words, but was also in his sacrificial death. Bought with the price. You know, I want to just read, and I love it, this morning we had some hymns. I have to say that. It just makes my day. I can forget about all this, and just when we sing hymns, it just motivates me to continue another day. 'Twas the life of Christ, my Lord, paid my ransomman and set me free. He redeemed me by his blood, shed on the cross of Calvary. Then it says, bought with the price, nor silver or gold, but with the price of a value yet untold. 'Twas the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, purchased my redemption and set me free. He set you free. He set me free this morning because of the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. He set us free. We sing that. He set me free. He set me free. That's the verse, point number four, that I want to share. By his stripes, we are healed. So we had the people rejecting the word. We had the people rejecting the Messiah, the Savior. We know it was God's plan for us in verse 4. And now, in verse 5, we'll look at it. Verse 5, we'll look at it together. And it says, but he was pierced because of his transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we were healed by his wounds. Isaiah's prophetic words speak of how Christ's sacrifice for us would heal us. He writes that by his stripes we're healed, and that he has taken our grief and carried our sorrows. Jesus did all this because of our transgressions. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the Christ, on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. By his wounds you are healed physically. Yes, there's people out there say that the scripture does not belong about healing aspect of it. It just belongs about the spiritual aspect of it. Yes, I do agree that Jesus died for the most important thing is for our sin, is for our salvation, for us to experience Christ as a personal Savior. But I also believe through the scriptures, because of his wounds, we are healed even physically. There is time for, he doesn't want us to live a defeated life. He wants us to live a victorious life. So when we say by his stripes we are healed, he took that on that cross and he was whipped for us, yes, for our sins, but also for our physical, for our bodies, for our pain, for our headaches, for the cancer, for the depression, for the anxiety, for the stress. He paid it all for you and I. And he experienced every pain. He experienced every pain that you and I experience today. So why not go to the King of Kings? Why not go to the Lord of Lords and claim it in the name of Jesus and say, Lord, touch me today. Lord, heal me today. Yes, Lord, I need you. By his wounds we are healed. Each time he was whipped, every form of sickness and disease, including arthritis, cancer, diabetes, and flu, whatever you want to call it, came upon him. The Bible tells us, and I want to just read this Psalm 103, because some people don't believe in that scripture. It's just for a spiritual sense. But look at Psalm 103, what it tells us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Go on. You will see. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all your benefits. Verse number 3. He forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all my disease. He redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. When you look at verse 3, he forgives all our sin. Yes, but look at the next one. He heals all your diseases. Many of us, I've experienced Christ, the salvation of Christ this morning. And you and I know that he healed us in a spiritual sense. But the verse 3 tells us this. He forgiveth all thy iniquities. Another version it says, in the Holman Bible tells us, he forgives all your sin. He heals all your diseases. Today's healing is right because Jesus had paid the price for you and I. So the devil says, you cannot be healed. You just declare that you are healed. Jesus has paid for my healing. Disease has no right to be in my body. I am healed in Jesus' name. I am healed in Jesus' name. Every curse of sickness that was supposed to fell on Jesus instead. He bore every one of those stripes and those hits, and those plows, so that you can walk in the divine health in all the days of your life. The price has been paid so that you can rise up and get out of your bed of affliction. I remember, I just got this from Facebook. One of my friends, his name is T.J. McKenzie. He's an evangelist. He preaches. It's a friend of mine, actually, but he's a lot younger than me. He started at a very young age. And seeing, I used to teach him in Bible in Sunday school class. He just grew, and he went to Bible school, and he came on out. And the Lord is just using him. And wherever he's going, he preaches over. He's going to, you could say, the Dominican, to Cuba. He's going to Hawaii. He's going to all over the world to preach the gospel in Venezuela. He's going everywhere to preach the gospel of Christ. And every time that he finishes his services, he always has an appeal for healing. And every service that he ends, God uses him in a mighty way that at least 1 to 3 are saved and 1 to 3 are healed. The healing is still out there. God still heals today. He still heals today because why? By his wounds you are healed. He believes in that. We believe in that script. We must believe it, saying that when we pray it, believe it, that he died, he went on the cross for us. By his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed today. Yes, that's the physical part. But the spiritual part of it, of you, is how our sins are forgiven. And if even anyone here today has not accepted Christ, by his wounds you can be healed spiritually. There's no reason why not to accept Christ. Sometimes people say, it's just a fake. But experience it. Try it and you will see the transformation, because you and I have seen it and experienced the transformation, God. Because the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his own and only Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Not only does he forgive us in our sins, he extends it to our physical healing, from a spiritual healing to a physical healing. So this morning, when we look at this verse, he was pierced. Remember Christ. The first thing is they slap him and hit him on his, slap his face with a staff hitting on his in his head. How do you feel when someone slaps you? I guarantee you would respond right away. Especially with the tempers in this church here. I can see them just slap back or lay a punch. It doesn't feel good, huh? It's just a shocking when you get slapped in the face. And Jesus was slapped in the face for you and I and hit across the head. And then it goes on. They whip him 39 times. And then it continues again, the crown on his head. Slashed, hit him across the head. With the crown of the thorn on his head and sunk in his. And then he was nailed to the cross. And after nailing to the cross, he was speared just to see if he was really dead. And then they wanted to break his kneecaps, but they didn't because he was dead. But Jesus did it all for you and I. Without even saying a word, it was God's plan. And now we can say, by his stripes we are healed. He paid it all for you and I. It might be a little bit of a different Good Friday for you. Someone, Shanique, asked me this morning, why is it called Good Friday? You ever wonder on that for a moment? Why is it called Good Friday? Because Jesus died for us. It doesn't make sense. Thank God it's a Good Friday that he died for us, because we can be healed spiritually and physically today. We can experience that freedom. So let's all stand this morning. And I want to conclude with a couple things, two applications. If you have not saved, you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, simple as you raise your hands before the Lord and say, come into my heart. The second thing is, we all have wounds. Some of us might be going through financial crisis, job loss, family situation, problem with your child, stress with a relative, marital problems, health issues, and the list can go on and on and on and on. And I want to conclude with this. Jesus is telling us, tell me your story. Tell me your wounds. Tell me your guilt. Tell me your struggle. And I will show you the reason I came. By his wounds, we are healed. Every eye closed this morning. As the musicians come forward, we conclude with a wonderful song just to reflect on what Christ has done for you and I. And we're going to pray together after that. Let's have this atmosphere of worship, reflecting on what we're going through, and just declare it, claim it, and say, Jesus, we are healed because you have died on the cross for us. Together, let us worship the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Every eye closed for a moment, every head bowed. Reflect what Jesus has done for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You had a song?
That one? Last one.
Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. On a hill. The old rugged cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.